Song Travels explores the journey singers and songs take together. This project is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts, ArtWorks. Additional support comes from NPR and NPR member stations.
Hi, I'm Michael Feinstein. My guest today is Canadian vocalist and songwriter Lily Frost. She started out as the lead singer of a 1920s blues cover band, which eventually led her to the New Orleans Jazz Festival, as well as a foray of singing on a ship on the Nile. From Egypt, she relocated to Vancouver, where underground rockabilly legend the late Ray Kondo asked her to sing with his band, the Swinging Dukes. He encouraged her to form her own band, the Colorifics, which packed clubs up and down the West Coast for years. From there, she made the jump to solo act, performing and recording her own material, which has been compared to the music of Regina Spektor and Feist. Lily Frost, welcome to Song Travels.
Thank you so much, Michael.
It's fun for me to be able to interview you because your musical mind intrigues me, because every project you have done has been so different. You seem to have an extraordinary command and understanding of so many different styles. Where did that come from?
That is a good question. I don't think that it's necessarily that I have been trained in specific styles so much as I'm more following my inner voice and my muse. So, and something that really inspires me a lot is foreign film, and the soundtracks are amazing.
Like yes.
Italian cinema.
Morricone.
From the
40s. Yeah.
And so that really inspires me and has for about 20 years.
So I know that you of course speak French, but you don't speak Italian. So
I don't. You don't speak Italian. No.
So you just know, you just go with the musicality of the.
Yes, of the and I speak some Spanish, and my husband's from Chile, and my first love was from Paraguay. So, and I lived in Montreal for a long time, and France for a while. So I do have some other, you know, influences. But for the most part, I grew up listening to Elvis Presley and rock and roll.
You've also embraced 1920s music, though, so you go way back to...
So that was the jump, though, because I grew up in the suburbs, and there was a lot of Steve Miller Band and Led Zeppelin and this kind of thing, and I was finding that I was really bored, and it was overplayed. So as soon as I moved when I was 19 to Montreal, I was invited to sing in a 1920s band, and so that was my awakening to that whole scene.
Well, before we go too far, I'd like to get into some music because we have a lot of different kinds of your music to play. And you've chosen to begin the program with a standard, with a classic, a song that was actually in an operetta originally, but it's become kind of a rockabilly classic, I guess.
Yeah, a little bit Western swing.
Yeah.
The reason that this song is off a Lily Swing's record, and it's a tribute record I made for the late Ray Kondo. He loved Billie Holiday, so I chose all Billie Holiday songs and asked his band if they would back me up. So I flew from Toronto to Vancouver, and they were so keen to do it, and it was very emotional. And we did it live in the studio and basically had Ray at the forefront of our mind and just sort of paid homage to him. And the record is actually done the best of all my recordings, which
really?
Is crazy because it was just sort of a whim. You know, it was like, I had a vision, Lily sings Billy for Ray. And then I, by chance, went to a friend of mine who does tarot cards, and she said, well, you've been given a vision. And you've been offered this vision, and if you don't honor it, you're being disrespectful to your muse. And I'm like, oh no, okay, I better do it then.
Not to mention Ray.
Exactly.
So he was this Canadian rockabilly legend, and it's a wonderful legacy because he was influenced by Billie Holiday, and you're influenced by him. So everything is a lineage of some sort.
That's true. Art inspires art.
Well, I know I'm not the Ray Kondo rockabilly band, but I'd like to try and approximate the style with you. If I may, I'll do some sort of homage to the original operetta sound before we get into the swing part.
That sounds great.
All right. This is Lover, Come Back to Me. Lover, come back to me. Oh, boy, that was fun. Thank you.
Thank you. That was really fun.
I know that you have had a lot of musical experiences doing many different kinds of things. I mean, I started as a piano player playing at a piano bar and sort of went from there. But but you were busking, and then you did casual gigs, and then you were in a rockabilly band, and then you're in a 20s band. I mean, all this different stuff. Mm-hmm. When you think back about all that, does there seem to be any order to it, or is it just sort of a jumble?
I think I was just going for it all, just sort of saying yes to the things that interested me. And as I was in those sort of kitschy, loungy, rockabilly, swingy bands, behind the scenes, I was always writing. So I had all these songs that I would just play for myself with my guitar, and they were very introspective and more sort of trying to figure things out. And so I had like my performer side that was fun and exciting, and then my deep, sad, introspective, contemplative side. And so I don't know if I ever have fully connected those two, which I think is the quest that I'm on, is to be able to sort of amalgamate. And I don't think I'll stop until I do.
And what does that look like to you, connecting them? What does that mean to you?
I feel like I'm close. I feel like it's sort of mixing the deep felt sort of gospel blues with the energy of the swing, but then with lyrics that I've written. So, you know, instead of doing the covers, actually writing in that style, which I find quite challenging because it's easy to fall back into like a cliche tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I don't want to make it too sort of singy, songy. So it's a challenge.
Right, because you're writing in a certain kind of form.
Exactly.
that many people feel is inherently cliche.
Maybe.
I don't think it is, but...
No.
But...
And I don't when I sing other people's songs. When I sing, like, Lover, Come Back to Me, it doesn't sound cliche or feel cliche either.
I think the strength of a great song is that it can be interpreted in many different ways, sometimes ways that are quite different from what the author conceived.
Mm-hmm.
In your writing, you have some beautiful poetry, and there's a song I'd like to ask you to sing that has a line in it that almost sounds Shakespearean. When we're apart, slow beats my heart.
Oh. Thank you. They just come out. The words just come out. So, and it was a long-distance love affair. I'd moved from Vancouver to Toronto, and it was with someone who I knew I actually could not be with, but somehow this song came out, and I was just feeling sort of the pulse and the energy of waves and time and space and clouds and everything sort of beating like a heart.
Mm. Well, this song that I'm attached to is called Silver Sun. Would you perform it for us?
I would love to.
Our guest, Lily Frost, performing Silver Sun.
Silver sun on the water. When we're apart,
beats my heart like the waves. Clouds are spreading across the sky, the very same sky that you see with your eyes, way across the world.
That's Silver Sun, performed by our guest on Song Travels, Lily Frost. The music of the 1920s is interesting to me as well as it is to you, because I'm so fascinated by not only the songs, but the sound of recordings of that time, because mm-hmm. they capture moments in time differently than people are accustomed to today, with technology being so refined
mm-hmm.
and controlled and limited with, mm-hmm. with iPods and such.
Mm-hmm.
And you have sung a lot of music of the 20s. What is the experience like singing something from the 20s inside versus singing a contemporary song? Is there what is the emotional change, or how do you change when you do that?
Well, I think it depends what kind of song it is. But when I was singing Bessie Smith or Ma Rainey or Ida Cox or, you know, some of those women who are sort of belting it out and really strong, then it was almost like a mantra. Like the power came through me somehow, and the way that they had put it out there. Does that mm-hmm. make sense? It seemed
yeah.
like their strength would come through me when I sang it. Even though it didn't maybe sound like that to an outside person, it did feel it. But you know, a lot of those songs are from the Deep South, and they're like based on sort of freedom from slavery, or, you know, or the whole sexist setup, which we're still going through, which is why Wild Women is a good sort of representation of a woman who was way ahead of her time.
Well, these songs to me mm-hmm. are a complete capturing of something that is otherwise not captured in the music of the 1920s, because it's also about women's liberation, because
mm-hmm.
so many of these songs are about strong women mm-hmm. that are telling the guy to get out or to do this or that, while the other side of the coin is pop music. Helen Morgan was singing, "Can't help loving that man of mine. He treats me mean, and he, but I love him anyway." Then there's this whole other genre happening at the same time that is represented in this, and it's fascinating to me.
It is, yeah. Strength and power. I mean, I guess if you look at pop right now, you get that dichotomy as well. Like you have people singing about high-heeled shoes and like they just want to spend your money. And then other people like Taylor Swift, you know, who's a little bit more aware at least in some of the lyrics.
Yes.
So you do have the dichotomies, but I don't know. There was a strength and power to sort of gospel blues music that I love. It's so intense and rides right through.
Would you please perform Wild Women?
Sure, I would love to.
Our guest, Lily Frost.
I hear these women raving about their monkey men, about their fighting husbands and their no good friends. These women, they sit around all day and moan, wondering why their wandering papas won't come home. Wild women don't worry, wild women don't have no blues. Well, if you've got a man, don't ever be on the square, 'cause if you do, he'll have a woman everywhere. I never was known to treat no one man right. I keep him working hard both day and night. Wild women don't worry, wild women don't have no blues.
Our guest, Lily Frost, singing, accompanied by her own guitar, an ancient number called Wild Women that may be old, but it sure sounds contemporary.
It does.
How has motherhood changed your world?
Wow. When I had my first child, my son, I felt like everything was just an upheaval and everything had been changed completely. I was just sort of in shock, like almost blindsided by all these new responsibilities that would never go away. And so I was like in shock. I had postpartum depression. I was just like, wow, this is crazy. Like, this is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. And I'm old. Like, I should have started when I was 14. I don't know. And then the second, I knew what I was getting into and I chose it. And I knew it would be hard, but I chose it. And she's just a brilliant, shining light of energy. My son is also incredible, but he's very sort of introspective. He's very much like me, where my daughter's just like a ball of joy. So it's made me manage my time better. I have to. It's like I have 1 hour to do 10 things. Go!
And what does that do for musical creativity?
It's a little tricky to write. I find recently I've been going away. So I'll just go away for 3 days and I'll even just stay in a hotel in my town, like around the corner from my house, and just go write because I can't be interrupted all the time. It doesn't work.
And can you set a goal that I'm going to write a certain number of songs, or do you do it that way, or you just see what happens?
Yeah, well, usually what I'll do first is nap. And then when I get
some rest.
Yeah, like then I get the energy to actually do something. And then I'll just sort of brainstorm, get a bunch of words out, you know, play guitar, see what happens. And then when certain seeds come together, then I'll start working on them. And maybe I'll only come out with one, or maybe it'll be five, but only two are good. Like, you never know. Mm-hmm. But at least it's something.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a preference between performing live and recording?
I think I like performing live better. I like recording, but it's a lot more labor intensive in a way. Like performing, you get energy back immediately. With the recording, it's more like focused. And for this last record, I did a day for a song. So each song is a full day.
Well, that's nothing compared to the production that you know, some artists will spend weeks or months on a track. So
yeah, but they're, you know, funded by major labels, probably.
Well, I think it's in some ways better to be able to do something quicker. I mean, I don't know if it's more honest, but it...
True to the moment, maybe.
Yeah. This EP you speak of, Motherless Child, were the songs inspired by your family and the thought of what...
No, the Motherless Child was a song that was... given to me through a reading I had. My friend did an Akashic reading. Do you know what that is?
Yes, that's going back to the spiritual records that are stored of our entire existence.
Exactly. And so a part of the reading came up where she said, a guardian angel of mine told me that I had to sing Motherless Child, and I'd never heard it before.
You'd never heard it?
No, I'd never heard it. So I put it on my iPhone and I was driving and I had to pull over just to like cry for about half an hour. It was so like moving. And then I went home, played it on piano. It just came really naturally. And the guy who was renovating our house was perched on the stairs. He was, you know, he kept peeking his head up, and I thought, there's something to this. I mean, it's really powerful. And then I listened to all the versions of all the people, and I started playing it live, and you could hear a pin drop whenever I played it. And I thought, this is so intense. And then the rest of the songs followed that song. So I had that as the sort of spine backbone for the concept of the record.
Would you sing it for us now?
Yes, I will.
Our guest, Lily Frost, at the piano, performing the title track from Motherless Child.
Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child, long way from home.
Motherless Child, performed by our guest, Lily Frost. There's more coming up in a moment with vocalist and songwriter Lily Frost. I'm Michael Feinstein, and this is Song Travels from NPR Music.
To support the series, join the Friends of Song Travels. More information on our Facebook page at facebook.com/songtravels.
Lily, in an interview, you said that you've seen a lot of depressed people who seem uninspired and robotic. How does one find passion? I mean, I try and inspire people with music, but I look at people whose lives sometimes are so stuck in a certain place.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this spiritual part, and then I have this part that yearns to be able to reach people in a way that sometimes in an audience, mm-hmm. when I'm performing certain music, some people are absolutely aware and they get it.
Mm-hmm.
And other people, they don't hear the words. They're not there. Have you ever had that experience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some people are so connected that it moves them, you know, it changes their life, they say, or it brings them to tears or this kind of thing, and other people are just like yawning.
Yeah, I've seen people fall asleep, and it's like, and of course, being who I am, I fixate on trying to get those people to the exclusion sometimes of the other people.
Yeah.
It's like, ah!
Yeah, it's hard. I don't have the answers. I do not know. But I do think it's helpful to be completely aware and listen to the signs of your body and your dreams and be honest with yourself. And when you are, then you do. It's almost like the movie of your life starts rolling.
Hmm. Well, I know that you have advocated people to follow their dream and to quit their jobs and to, you know, if you want to be involved in music, you have to quit your job and you have to make music. I mean, that's very daring, but I guess that's what you did, right? I mean, you followed your path and it worked.
And then it's interesting because what is working? Like, what is success? It doesn't mean that I'm not happy just because I'm not famous.
Oh, I understand. Yeah. Yeah, because touching somebody, I used to play in convalescent homes very frequently.
Yeah.
I can't do it as much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But is there anything more fulfilling than touching the heart of somebody that
moving someone who needs what you have to offer? One guy wrote me a letter from prison. This was so intense. I couldn't believe it. It's like a 3-page letter. He was French, so it was kind of broken English. He said that he had done some terrible things. And he was in for, I think, 25 years. And the warden gave him 3 CDs, and one of them was Viridian Torch.
Wow.
It had no cover. He had no idea who I was or what. He had to ask her, but he didn't know what I looked like. And he said he listened to it every night, and it brought him to another dimension, and he just wanted to thank me for saving his spirit.
That's extraordinary.
So that, for me, is way huger than the paparazzi.
Yes. Would you want to meet that person? Or would
I don't know.
Yeah,
and he wanted a picture, and I'm like, I don't know about that.
Right. <Yeah. laughs> let's keep it on the mystical side.
Exactly. Yeah, my new boyfriend.
Right. Well, you've been working on another swing project.
Yes, I have this follow-up CD to the Lily Swing CD. So this time I'm working on getting people out of their chairs, getting them onto the dance floor. So it's harder hitting, and it's got horns and it's a bit more rockabilly. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Let's listen to one of the tracks from it, if we may.
Yeah, I'd love to.
This is called Swing Brother Swing, from Lily Frost's newest recording, Too Hot for Words. That's a triple espresso there, Swing Brother Swing, performed by our guest Lily Frost from Too Hot for Words. It must be such a kick to create a recording like that.
It is so fun, and it is sheer fun, you know? It's not like heavy, and it's not sort of bringing it down. It's all about sort of coming together, dancing, high energy, and style and fun, and the record amalgamates Americana, so it's like surf, rockabilly, swing, and all the fun things that I love.
Were you ever into the punk scene?
I was. The first band I was in, the Sheiks, the guys in it were in a punk band called the Gruesomes. So did you ever hear of those guys?
I haven't.
So they looked like the Ramones. They had the hairdo. Uh-huh. And they had really cute songs like... Hey. And they just all yell, hey. You know what I mean? And they're just silly. So they started the Sheiks. And then, so everything that I was part of, the Sheiks and then Ray Kondo's band, all those guys had a punk attitude. Like they were into sort of the anarchism idea of taking responsibility for your life, thinking for yourself, freedom of speech, living your art, and that aesthetic, which I feel I tried to adhere to, not adhere, but like I always had a little edge to what I did. It's not like too sort of sheened over.
Right. It's a little more in your face.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I don't want to just be background music to the cucumber sandwiches.
Does anybody? I guess some people do, whoever make music, they
sure.
make a living from it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a song that resonates with me a lot. It's from your Cine Magique
yes.
recording. And it's called Enchantment, and I had heard it a number of years ago. And I remember the video, which I recently watched again, which reminds me of A Midsummer Night's Dream, that 1935 Warner iteration of it,
yeah.
you know, in black and white. And what made you choose that aesthetic to visually accompany Enchantment?
Well, it's interesting because the woman I worked with, Yael Stav, she was very strong with the vision. So I knew I wanted black and white. I knew I wanted, actually, my initial idea was, you know, where the wild things are.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in the bedroom and then the walls fall away and it becomes the forest.
Right.
So she had created a bed hanging from trees in the forest. The walls were never there. They never fell away, which kind of made me sad. I really wanted that. But,
right.
you know, she had also created a huge nest in the woods, and then a swing, so other things, but that's what happens when you collaborate. Some of the aesthetic came, you know, went off in her direction, but I loved how it sped up and it looked like an old Charlie Chaplin film at certain points.
And the tea party.
And the Alice in Wonderland and Mad Hatter tea party. I love that, yeah.
Well, would you sing Enchantment for us now?
Sure. Lying awake in my bed and I wish you were here. Tired and lonely and horny without you, my dear. I'm writing a manifesto, sending a telegram. I'll be a lady if you'll be a gentleman. Floating away from my pillow and into the woods. Finding my way to your heart by the light of the moon. The
forest can tell I'm under your spell. You're taking me out of my shell. I'll be the penny if you be the wishing well. Floating away from my pillow and into the woods. You said you wouldn't go because you told me so, but I knew that you would. Enchantment, enchantment, gonna get me high, gonna get me high, enchantment.
That's Enchantment, performed by our guest Lily Frost. I love the way your voice becomes more enchanted and floats off into the stratosphere.
Thank you. I have a story about enchantment, just a little quick
one. Please.
I was a babysitter for a little while when I first moved to Toronto because I didn't have a job, and my friend offered me to sub for her nanny job. So there was this guy, Dave Eddy, a writer who I was nannying for, and he worked way upstairs, and I was watching the kids, and he came running down one day and he said, You're a singer. What are you doing in my house? You should be out there on the stage. You're good. I love your songs and blah, blah, blah. He's like, I just shouldn't be giving you like $10 an hour or whatever it is. And he said, what can I do to help you? And I said, why don't you give me a word? And so he said, as I was leaving that day, walking down the path, he goes, enchantment.
Oh my gosh.
So he gave me the word, and then I took it home, and Jose, my husband, and I worked on it, and we were really inspired by Carla Bruni at that point, the French singer, so we were doing that kind of tick, 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 the Frenchy style.
Right.
So that's how it came together.
And that kind of goes back to Stefan Grappelli, that sort of hot
true.
Swing club of France.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. There's a song that is on, I think it's on Lily Swings, that's a torch song.
Yeah.
And I actually slightly knew the woman who wrote this song.
Really?
Anne Ronell, who was a protege of George Gershwin.
Wow.
She lived into her 80s and had two song hits, Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf and Willow Weep for Me. Talk about two diametrically opposed numbers. And I'm intrigued that you chose this song, because sometimes people shy away from torch songs of the 30s because they find them too cliche or
overdone, maybe? Or
I think it's more the attitude about it's always about the suffering woman,
right?
You know, being wronged by the guy. And usually they were written by men, but this actually happens to be a torch song that was written by a woman.
Yeah.
And she dedicated the song, by the way, to George Gershwin.
Really? Interesting.
Well, I would love to perform this song with you.
Okay, yes, let's do that.
All right. I'll be at the piano, of course. Willow Weep for Me. Words and music by Anne Ronell. Performed by Lily Frost.
Whisper to the wind and say that love is sin. To leave my heart a-breaking and aching all in my wall. Murmur to the night and hide her starry light, so none will find me sighing and crying all alone. Weeping willow tree, weep in sympathy. Bend your branches down along the ground and cover me. Listen to my plea. Hear me, willow, and weep for me.
A classic song movingly performed by our guest, Lily Frost. Do you think of 30s singers when you sing something like that? Do you think of a past time when you sing something like that, or are you in a contemporary mind when you sing that?
I can feel Billie Holiday in that, and I can also picture myself in a sort of field with a willow tree overlooking a lake, and romance and loneliness.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to stay in that mode because there's another track from your most recent recording that sort of dovetails with this one. It'll be the last thing that that we play today. It's a number that is, I think, almost exclusively connected with Billie Holiday, Don't Explain. Not a happy relationship song. Do you look back at certain things you've written and say, oh, I wrote that because this was happening, and think, oh, well, that song never would have come if I hadn't had that, at the time, terrible experience?
Yes, absolutely. And sometimes I would seek out the bad experiences just for the sake of the song.
So you say, got a great song out of it.
Totally.
Well, let's listen to this performance of this Billie Holiday classic, reinterpreted by our guest, Lily Frost. Hush Now, Don't Explain.
Hush now, don't explain. Just say you'll remain. I'm glad you're back. Don't explain.
That is Don't Explain. Our guest is Lily Frost. And I want to thank you for sharing the breadth of your musical life with me and with us. I deeply respect you, and I'm thrilled to meet you. And thank you for being on our show.
Likewise, thank you. My pleasure.
You're welcome.
To hear the full Song Travels broadcast, tune in to your NPR station. Visit npr.org to find a station in your area. Support for Song Travels comes from NPR and the National Endowment for the Arts, ArtWorks. Song Travels is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. Learn more about the artists and music on the series by visiting our website, scetv.org/songtravels.